الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فما زلنا في قراءتنا لرسالة الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة لفضيلة الشيخ العلامة المفتي عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى وجزاه الله عنا خيرا.
The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went on to say to proceed. And then he stated that we have not ceased to be reading inside of our book entitled Important Lessons for Every Muslim, authored by the eminent Sheikh, the Allama, the Mufti, Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and may Allah reward him with all good and excellence.
Magat bin Abdullah bin Baz. Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah bin Baz.
Now, the Sheikh's name is Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah bin Baz, rahimahullah.
طيب. ونحن في يوم السبت الرابع والعشرين من جماد الآخرة لعام 29400 الموافق اليوم الثامن والعشرين من الشهر الثالث لعام 2008.
And today's date, it is Saturday, the 24th of جماد الآخرة in the year 1429. Coinciding with the 28th of June in the year 2008.
في هذه الزيارة التي أسأل الله عز وجل أن يبارك فيها ويجعلها مباركة وخالصة الوجه الكريم زائركم أخوكم من الكويت سالم بن سعد طويل إلى الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية في المدينة التي سيذكر اسمها الأخ.
And on this visit of ours that the Sheikh supplicated to ask to make this visit blessed and to place blessing in it and to make this visit a visit sincerely seeking his face, sincerely seeking Allah's noble face. He stated that the one speaking to you is your brother visiting you from Kuwait, Salam bin Sa'd of Tawil, and he's visiting us here in the United States of America in the state of Massachusetts in the city of Worcester.
ونأتي على الدرس الثامن عشر من هذه الرسالة وهو الدرس الأخير وهو درس فيه شيء من التفصيل عن ما يتعلق بتجهيز الميت والصلاة عليه ودفنه.
And we have reached the 18th lesson, and in the 18th lesson here discusses some of the details concerning preparing the deceased, praying over him, and burying him.
ويبقى من زيارتنا اليوم درس اليوم وغدا سيكون إن شاء الله لقاء مفتوح للأسئلة والأجوبة. أو الأجوبة على أسئلتكم فحضروا أنفسكم وادعوا إخوانكم وأخواتكم لتحضير الأسئلة لتعم الفائدة.
And we're going to remain upon this schedule except that tomorrow inshallah ta'ala from 2 to 5 we're going to have an open question session, so the Sheikh is urging everyone to bring all of your questions and answers so that he can answer them inshallah.
سيكون لقاء inshallah ta'ala من الساعة الثانية يعني بعد الظهر إلى الساعة الخامسة.
And it's going to take place from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
نشرع في درس اليوم الدرس الثامن عشر. أولا يشرع تلقين المحتضر لا إله إلا الله. المحتضر هو من حضرته الوفاة.
And now we're going to begin in this 18th lesson here concerning some of the details concerning the person who's passing. And firstly, it says you begin encouraging the person who is near death to say لا إله إلا الله.
وهذا يدل على أهمية لا إله إلا الله حيث يلقن بها الميت حتى يقبل على الله عز وجل بلا إله إلا الله.
And this is something that shows the importance of لا إله إلا الله, where the servant is encouraged at this point of his life to say لا إله إلا الله until Allah takes him.
فيبدأ الإنسان لدخوله بالإسلام بقول لا إله إلا الله ويخرج من الدنيا بقول لا إله إلا الله.
So a person enters into Islam with the statement La ilaha illallah, and a person exits the life of this world saying La ilaha illallah.
وهكذا ينبغي تجديد العهد بلا إله الله وأنكم معها في كل لحظة ما استطعنا إلى ذلك سبيلا.
And this is how it is appropriate to renew one's covenant. This was the saying of La ilaha illallah. Likewise, in every moment of one's life, when you have the opportunity, you should say La ilaha illallah.
فقد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من تعار من الليل يعني انقلب في فراشه وقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد على كل شيء قدير فدعا الله استجيب له.
And it mentions that the person who in the person who turns in the middle of the night. Now, the person who turns in the middle of the night and he makes a supplication saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu mulku wa lahu hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir, then this person, his supplication will be answered.
فإذا قام فصلى قبل صلاته.
And if he stands in his prayer, and if he stands in the prayer, his prayer will be accepted.
ويشرع المسلم إذا استيقظ من نومه أن يذكر الله.
And it is necessary for the Muslim when he awakens from sleep to say لا إله إلا الله.
وأفضل الذكر أن يقول لا إله إلا الله.
And the best, the most virtuous of dhikr, remembrance, is to say لا إله إلا الله.
فإذا توضأ فيشرع له بعد الوضوء أن يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
So when a person, when he makes wudu after performing it, it is legislated for him to say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
فإذا سمع المؤذن يؤذن لصلاة الفجر ولغيرها من الصلوات فيشرع له أن يقول كما يقول المؤذن وفيه أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وفي آخر الأذان الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
And when the person hears the Adhan for Fajr, it is legislated, and also another prayer besides Fajr, it is legislated for him to repeat after the Mu'adhan saying أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, and he repeats it all the way to the end of it, which is Allahu Akbar Allahu Akbar, then he says لا إله إلا الله again.
ثم يسمع المؤذن يقيم الصلاة وفي الإقامة فيه أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
And then he hears the mu'adhin calling the iqama, and inside of the iqama, the person hears أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
فإذا قام وصلى وكبر قال دعاء الاستفتاح ومن أدعية الاستفتاح ما فيه لا إله إلا الله وهو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما علمنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك.
And a person, when he stands to pray, he makes his opening takbir. He begins his prayer, and he begins with the dua al-istiftah, the opening dua. And in this opening dua itself is a supplication that you heard the Shaykh mention, and in it you say لا إله غيره.
فإذا صلى فإنه يجلس التشهد ويقرأ فيها التحيات لله وفيها أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
So when a person, when he sits and he goes to say the tashahud, inside of the tashahud itself, as he's saying التحيات لله, in it you find him saying أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
فإذا صلى وسلم فإنه يقول لا إله إلا الله بعد الصلاة, يقول استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله, اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام, تبارك يا ذا الجلال الإكرام, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, له الملك وله الحمد وعلى كل شيء قدير, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه, له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن, لا إله إلا الله مخلص له الدين ولو كره الكافرون, اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. يقول هذا الدعاء بعد الصلاة, ليس بالترجمة, الدعاء هذا يقوله بعد الصلاة وفيه لا إله إلا الله.
So after a person completes his prayer, after completed his prayer, he begins saying the adhkar or after his prayer, and amongst these adhkar after the prayer and the supplications that you heard the Shaykh, the adhkar you heard the Shaykh mention, in it you say لا إله إلا الله as well.
ويسبح الله 33 والحمد لله 33 والله أكبر 33 فتلك 99 تمامها المئة يقول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك والحمد على كل شيء قدير.
So a person in his adhkar after the salah, you say subhanallah, you say alhamdulillah, and you say Allahu Akbar, each one 33 times, and this makes 99. And a person completes it with saying لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير.
ويقول في الصباح والمساء بعد الفجر وبعد المغرب لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد على كل شيء قدير 10 مرات.
And in the morning and in the evening after Fajr and after Maghrib, in the person says again لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير.
ثم يقول من أدعية الصباح والمساء سيد الاستغفار وفيه اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت, خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك وعليك ما استطعت, والمقصود أن فيها أيضا لا إله إلا أنت.
And in the supplications that a person says for the morning and the evening is what's called the Sayyid al-Istighfar, the master of seeking forgiveness. And inside of this supplication itself, the person again, he says again, Allahumma Rabbi, Allahumma anta Rabbi la ilaha illa anta. A person says again, la ilaha illa anta.
هو يستحب أن يقول في اليوم والليلة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له 100 مرة. فمن قالها كتب الله له 100 حسنة ومحى عنه 100 سيئة وكتب له عتق 10 رقاب وكانت له حرزم الشيطان يومه ذاك.
And it is legislated for a person to say for his supplications in the morning and the evening to say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 100 times. And this is mustahab, he stated, this is highly recommended to do so. And the reward for a person that does this, he will obtain 100 good deeds, he will be forgiven of 100 sins, he will have the reward as well, he has freed 10 slaves, and he will also have a protection for, from the shaitan for that day.
ولم يأتي أحد بأفضل مما جاء به إلا رجل قال مثله أو أفضل منه.
And there will be no one who will be able to come with a better good deed than what he's performed, except for one who has done its equivalent or one who has done better than it.
ويقول لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين عندما يكون في كرب وفي مصيبة.
And when a person is in times of calamity, when a person is in dire straits, a person also says this supplication we heard the Shaykh mention as well. We are still saying the same thing again.
وإذا كان في هم وغم يقول لا إله إلا الله الحليم العظيم فإن هذه من أذكار الهم والغم.
So when a person is in a state of where he has grief and he's sad, he says a supplication and inside the supplication, as you heard the Shaykh mention, he says it's the same thing again.
فإذا دخل السوق أيضا يشرع له أن يقول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له.
And when a person enters into the marketplace, it's also legit for him to say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له.
وإذا كان في الحج والعمرة على الصفا والمروة أيضا يقول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له.
And when a person is on Hajj or Umrah and he's at Safa and Marwa, he also says لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له.
وإذا كان يوم عرفة فخير يوم من طلعت عليه الشمس يوم عرفة. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام خير ما قلت أنا والنبي من قبلي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير.
And even on the day of Arafah, and this is the best day that the sun shines upon, the Prophet ﷺ that stated that it has been there's no better word that has been stated that he has stated this day on or those prophets before him except لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له.
كذلك إذا أخطأ وحلف بغير الله فكفارة ذلك أن يقول لا إله إلا الله لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال واللات والعزة وهذه أسماء أصنام كانوا قد اعتادوا القسم بها والحلف بها فيقول من قال واللات والعزة فليقول لا إله إلا الله.
Also the one who makes a mistake and he swears by other than Allah by mistake, the expiation for that is to say لا إله إلا الله. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned, whoever swears by Lat and Uzza, and these were two idols of the people of the past before Islam, the expiation for him is to say لا إله إلا الله.
وغير ذلك من المناسبات الشرعية التي يتعاهد بها المسلم لا إله إلا الله ويكثر من قولها.
And other than that, from those legislated places where it is appropriate to say لا إله إلا الله and to say it over and over again.
فلا إله إلا الله كلمة التوحيد كلمة عظيمة.
So لا إله إلا الله, it is the statement of توحيد and it is a tremendous statement.
بها أرسل الله جميع رسله وأنزل من أجلها جميع كتبه. قال جل وعلا ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت.
Because of it, Allah sent all the messengers and caused all the books to descend. And Allah Ta'ala states, surely we have sent to every nation a messenger proclaiming worship of Allah and abstain from worshipping a taghut.
وقال جل وعلا وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أن لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون.
And Allah Ta'ala mentioned we have not revealed to a messenger before you except to say لا إله إلا أنا لا إله إلا أنا so worship me.
وعلى هذا ينبغي المسلم أن يكرر لا إله إلا الله لعل وعسى تكون آخر كلامه من هذه الدنيا فتكون سببا لدخول الجنة لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة.
So like this, it is appropriate upon the Muslim to constantly say throughout his life repeatedly, La ilaha illallah, hoping that his last words will be, La ilaha illallah, so that it will be a reason for him to enter into the paradise when his last words are La ilaha illallah. And we have the hadith here with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is stated to encourage those that are dying to say La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also mentioned, whosever last words are La ilaha illallah will enter into the Jannah.
ومعنى لا إله الله لها معنى واحد وهو لا معبود حق إلا الله لا يستحق العبادة أحد سوى الله.
And لا إله إلا الله, it has one meaning, and that is none has the right to worship in truth except Allah, meaning that Allah alone is deserving of all aspects, forms of worship alone by Himself.
لا يستحق أحد العبادة مع الله عز وجل لا الملائكة المقربون ولا الأنبياء المرسلون ولا الأولياء الصالحون ولا الشمس ولا القمر بل الله هو الإله الحق وحده لا شريك له.
And there is no one that has rights over any aspect of worship except Allah Ta'ala alone by Himself. Not the angels that are close to Him, not the prophets that were sent, not the righteous saints, not the sun or the moon. Nothing has rights over this. Allah has rights over worship alone by Himself.
لذلك ينبغي للمسلم أن يهتم بلا إله إلا الله وأن يكثر من قولها فإذا حضر وفاة أحد أقربائي أو أحد الناس فليلقنه لا إله الله يقول له قل لا إله إلا الله قل لا إله إلا الله حتى يكون آخر كلام لا إله الله فتكون سبب لدخول الجنة لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه مسلم في صحيحه لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله.
So a person, he should again be repeating this statement لا إله إلا الله over and over again like this, and he's encouraged to do so, and he should place importance upon it so that the last words that he utters is La ilaha illallah, when he's encouraged to do this, when he's at the brink of death, and when it's said to him, you say to him, say La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, so on and so forth, encourage him so that it's his last words, as has come in the hadith here that is recorded by Muslim in the Sahih, where the Prophet ﷺ stated, encourage those that are dying amongst you to say La ilaha illallah.
يقول الشيخ والمراد بالموت في هذا الحديث المحتضرون لقنوا موتاكم يعني من حضرته الوفاة من ظهرت عليه أمارات وعلامات الموت ليس موتاكم الذين ماتوا وخرجت روحهم.
So here the intent with those who had died here, or those that are deceased here in this hadith, it means that those that death is present with them, meaning that the signs of death have manifested themselves on that person. And it doesn't mean here that you say to the person who's already died and his soul has left him, that you tell him to say La ilaha illallah. It doesn't mean that.
ومما يدل على أن المراد بقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقنوا موتاكم أن المراد بالموتى من حضرته الوفاة وليس من مات أن الله عز وجل أخبر بأن الميت لا يسمع فقال إنك لا تسمع الموتى.
And from the evidences that what is meant here in this hadith, encourage your dead to say La ilaha illallah, that this means the people who are getting ready to die is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, where He states that those who are deceased, they can't hear you.
وقال جل وعلا وما أنت بمسمع من في القبور.
And Allah Jalla wa Ala, He mentions, and you all cannot hear those who are in the graves.
ومما يؤكد هذا المعنى أي معنى؟
And that which emphasizes this meaning here, what meaning?
أي معنى؟
What meaning here are we talking about?
أن تلقين لا إله إلا الله لمن حضرته الوفاة. هذا هو المقصود بالموتى. لا بالذين ماتوا وخرجت روحهم. مما يؤكد هذا؟
That was meant here by this hadith to encourage the dead to say La ilaha illallah. It means those who are on the brink of death, and it doesn't mean the one who's already died. That which emphasizes this meaning here is
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان يأتي للأموات الذين ماتوا وخرجت روحهم يقول لهم قولوا لا إله إلا الله.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he didn't go to the people that have already died, to the graves and such, and say to them, say La ilaha illallah.
وإنما كان يأتي للذين حضرتهم الوفاة فيقول لهم قولوا لا إله إلا الله.
But rather he would go to the person that was on the brink of death, who was getting ready to die. He would say to them to say لا إله إلا الله.
كما في الصحيح صحيح مسلم أن أبا طالب عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما حضرت الوفاة جاءه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when his uncle Abu Talib, when he was getting ready to pass, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he came to him.
فقال له وكان عنده أبو جهل وعبد الله بن أبي أمية كان عند أبي طالب والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليه.
And the Prophet said, when he came to him, Abu Jahl was there.
Abu Jahl was Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah.
And Abdullah bin Umayyah, they were present there when the Prophet said, entered upon Abu Talib.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمي أبي طالب يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بعند الله كلمة تكون حجة لي أشفع لك عند الله عز وجل.
And he said to his uncle, he said, oh my uncle, say this word, la ilaha illallah. Say a word that I can utilize as evidence on your behalf so I can intercede for you in front of our Lord.
فقال أبو جهل وصاحبه لأبي طالب أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب وملة عبد المطلب عبادة الأصنام أتترك ملة أبائك وأجدادك أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب.
And Abu Jahl and his companion that was there with him, they stated to Abu Talib, are you striving against, are you trying to abandon the religion of Abdul Muttalib? And the religion of Abdul Muttalib was that he used to worship idols.
يعيرانه بذلك.
And they criticized him because of this.
فعاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرة أخرى قال يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله.
And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeated what he said, oh my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, a word that I can utilize as an evidence in your favor in front of your Lord.
فقال أبو جهل وصاحبه أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب.
So Abu Jahl and his companion, he said, are you striving against, are you abandoning the religion of Abdul Muttalib?
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عن قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بي عند الله. فأعاد أبو جهل وصاحبه أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب المرة الثالثة.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said again, oh my uncle Abu Talib, say la ilaha illallah, a word that you utilize as evidence in your favor with Allah. And Abu Jahl, the one who was with him, stated again, are you going to strive against abandon the religion of Abdul Muttalib a third time.
فكان آخر ما قال أبو طالب نفسه قال هو على ملة عبد المطلب. هو على ملة عبد المطلب وأبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله.
And the last thing that was stated about Abu Talib was it said that he's upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib. He's upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib, and he refused to say لا إله إلا الله.
ومات على الشرك وأبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله.
So he died upon shirk and refused to say لا إله إلا الله.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعدما مات عم أبو طالب لم يذهب إلى قبره ويقول له يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله.
And after Abu Talib passed, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he didn't go to his grave and he passed and say, oh my uncle, say لا إله إلا الله.
ومع هذا الوضوح وهذا الحديث الصحيح الصريح إلا أن هناك بعض أهل البدع يذهب إلى الأموات ويقول لهم يا فلان قل لا إله إلا الله.
And with this clarity and with the authenticity and the clarity of this hadith, you still have some of the people of Ahlul Bid'ah, some people of innovation that will go to the graves of people who are deceased and say to them to say la ilaha illallah.
وهذا من جهلهم بحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فظنوا أن معنى لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلاالله أي قولوا للأموات الذين خرجت أرواحهم قولوا لا إله إلاالله.
And this is due to their ignorance of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So due to the ignorance in this, they go to the graves of those who have deceased and their souls have exited their bodies, and they say to them to say لا إله إلا الله.
وهنا نريد أن نقف وقفة مع هذا الحديث حديث أبي طالب يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله.
And here we want to stay here for a moment and speak about this hadith of
Ali bin Abi Talib.
This hadith of Abu Talib. Where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was telling him to say لا إله إلا الله.
علي بن أبي طالب صحابي ابن عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وزوج ابنته فاطمة. قول.
So علي بن أبي طالب is a companion and his wife is Fatima.
والكلام عن أبي طالب والده المشرك الذي أبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله.
And we're speaking about Abu Talib, his father, the one who refused to say لا إله إلا الله.
أبو طالب ما هي قرابته بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام؟
وأبو طالب له
ما قرابته بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
And Abu Talib, what is his relationship to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
He's
asking.
Uncle, عمه.
His uncle, his عم.
وهو الذي تولى تربية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He is the one that took custody of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and raised him.
فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام توفي والده عبد الله وهو حمل في بطن أمه.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his father Abdullah passed when he was still in the womb of his mother.
فتولاه جده عبد المطلب.
So his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, first took custody of him.
ثم مات عبد المطلب فتولاه عمه أبو طالب.
Then عبد المطلب he passed and his uncle عبد المطلب then took custody of him.
ثم هذا عمه أبو طالب نصر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بداية دعوته أول ما أرسل الله على النبي نصره ووقف معه لكن أبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله.
And Abu Talib he aided and assisted the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the beginning of Islam. He aided, assisted and protected and fortified him, but at the end he still refused to say لا إله إلا الله.
وكان على يقين أن دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعوة صحيحة وأن رسول الله حقا.
And he was certain that the da'wah, the call of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was true and that he truly indeed was a prophet.
ولقد صرح بذلك فقال ولقد علمت أن دين محمد من خير أديان البرية دينا خير أديان الناس دين محمد. هو يعرف هذا الشيء.
And he knew this and he openly confessed this and he stated that he knew that the religion that I know that the religion of Muhammad is the best of the religion of all the creation.
يقول ولولا الملامة وحذاري مسبة لوجدتني سمحا بذاك مبين. يقول خاف أن الناس تعيرني أنا كبير بالسن جاي الآن أغير ديني في آخر حياتي.
So he stated that, you know, it wasn't for fear of blame and fear of being censured that he would embrace this religion.
فلم يوفق إلى لا إله إلا الله.
So he wasn't granted success to say لا إله إلا الله.
ولم يدخل الإسلام ولم يقل لا إله إلا الله.
So he didn't enter into Islam and he did not say La ilaha illallah.
وهو عم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And he's the uncle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الذي تولى تربيته.
The one who took custody of him in reason.
وعاش معه ويعرف أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يكذب حتى على الناس. فكيف سيكذب على الله يقول الله بعثني والله لم يبعثه هذا مستحيل في حق النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هو يعرف هذا جيدا.
And he lived with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he knew that he was truthful, he knew that he didn't lie and he knew the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that he was sent as a prophet and a messenger of Allah, he knew that he would be telling the truth.
تأملتم كيف حرم هذا وهو قريب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعمه من لا إله إلا الله.
So have you reflected now, contemplated upon how this individual was prevented from saying لا, he didn't say لا إله إلا الله even with his close relationship to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
بينما نحن أكرمنا الله عز وجل وتفضل علينا ونقول لا إله إلا الله.
While Allah عز وجل He has preferred us, bestowed His bounty upon us and favored us by saying لا إله إلا الله.
فنحن بيننا وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرون.
So between us.
مئات السنين بيننا وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومع ذلك نقول لا إله إلا الله.
So between us and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there are centuries, hundreds of years, and we know all of that. We have been favored to say لا إله إلا الله.
لم نشاهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولم نعاصره ولا عشنا حتى في القرن الذي عاش فيه ومع ذلك وفقنا الله ونقول لا إله إلا الله.
So we haven't seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for ourselves, nor did we live in his time, nor did we live in even his generation or his century. Even with all of this, we have still been favored to say لا إله إلا الله.
لم يأتينا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وجها لوجه ويترجان ويقول قل لا إله إلا الله قل لا إله إلا الله. ما حصل هذا ومع ذلك نحن نقول لا إله إلا الله.
So we didn't meet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم face to face so that he can say to us, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. And even though this did not occur, we still have been favored to say this la ilaha illallah.
أحدنا يقول لا إله الله ومنشرح بها صدره.
So one of us will say la ilaha illallah and his chest is open, accepting of it.
ليس هناك من يضغط علينا أو يهددنا بالسلاح يقول لا إله الله وإلا قتلتك وإلا قطعت عنقك. بينما بل نقولها بانشراح صدر وبكل إرادة نقول لا إله إلا الله.
And there's no one here that's forcing us to say this. There's no one here that has a weapon against us, who's trying to kill us or hurt us, or has a weapon against our neck forcing us to say la ilaha illallah. But rather, this is something that we say with an open chest of our own volition. Willingly, we say la ilaha illallah.
زمننا بعيد عن زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So our time is very far from the time period of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وموطننا بعيد عن موطن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
موطن.
بلادنا بعيدة بلادنا.
Now, so the place that we live in is very far from the place that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم lived in.
وأنسابنا بعيدة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ليس بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرابة.
And our lineage is something that is different from the Prophet. Is something that is far from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We don't have any direct relationship to him.
ومع ذلك وفقنا الله إلى لا إله إلا الله.
And with all of this, Allah has granted us success to say لا إله إلا الله.
جرب نفسك وقل لا إله إلا الله. هل أحد يجبرك عليها؟
So try yourself and say لا إله إلا الله. Is anyone that's forcing you to say this?
قل لا إله إلا الله. تقولها بكل يعني انشراح صدر من غير إكراه من غير إقناع، من غير يعني فضل من الله عز وجل. أكرمك الله وتفضل عليك بلا إله إلا الله.
So you say لا إله إلا الله with an open chest, of your own will, of your own volition, and this is a favor from Allah سبحانه وتعالى that we can say لا إله إلا الله.
كم إنسان يقابلك لا يقول لا إله إلا الله؟
How many people have you come across, have you met that they don't say لا إله إلا الله؟
فالأكثر من أهل الأرض من لا يقول لا إله إلا الله.
Most of the people upon the earth they won't say لا إله إلا الله.
وأكثر بكثير من الذين لا يقولون لا إله إلا الله.
And there are surplus, there are so many that won't say لا إله إلا الله.
وكثير ممن يقول لا إله إلا الله لا يفهم معنى لا إله إلا الله.
And many of the people that do in fact say لا إله إلا الله, they don't understand the meaning of لا إله إلا الله.
فكم من إنسان يقول لا إله إلا الله وهو يعبد الأولياء والصالحين من دون الله.
So how many people are there that say لا إله إلا الله but yet they worship the righteous and the saints alongside Allah?
وكم من إنسان يقول لا إله إلا الله وهو ينقض لا إله إلا الله صباحا ومساء.
And how many people are there who say لا إله إلا الله but yet he invalidates his لا إله إلا الله in every morning and evening?
فنحمد الله عز وجل على لا إله إلا الله.
So we praise Allah عز وجل upon this لا إله إلا الله.
ونسأله الزيادة من لا إله إلا الله.
And we ask him for an increase of لا إله إلا الله.
ونسأل الله الثبات على لا إله إلا الله.
And we ask Allah for conviction to be firmly established upon لا إله إلا الله.
ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يكون آخر كلامنا من هذه الدنيا لا إله إلا الله.
And we ask Allah عز وجل for our last words and leave the life of this world to be لا إله إلا الله.
وأن نموت على لا إله إلا الله.
And to die upon لا إله إلا الله.
وأن نلقى الله عز وجل على لا إله إلا الله.
And that we meet Allah upon لا إله إلا الله.
نرجع الآن إلى الموضوع الأساسي في الدرس وهو ثانيا إذا تيقن موته أغمضت عيناه وشد لحياه ليرد السنة بذلك.
So we now return to our foundational subject here, and the second point here he mentions: once you are sure that a person has in fact died, he's deceased, you close his eyes and you close his jaw due to what has been found in the sunnah in that.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا خرجت الروح تبعها البصر فتخرج الروح البصر ينظر إليه وهي خارجة إذا خرجت بقي البصر مفتوح لأن ما في روح الآن حتى يغمض عينيه فنحن الأحياء ماذا نفعل نغمض عيني الميت.
نعم. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has informed us that when a person passes, the then the soul exits out of his body, the eyes will follow the soul upward as it goes out of the body. And after the soul has left the body, the soul is no longer anybody to close the eyes. So what is it that we do here? We ourselves, we not close the eyes of this person for him.
فإذا كان قد فتح فاه فنغلق فاه نغلق لحيه. نعم.
And if his mouth is open, then we close his mouth for him.
ثالثا يجب غسل الميت المسلم وهذا فرض كفاية. كل مسلم يموت لابد على المسلمين أن يغسلوا أن يقوم بعض المسلمين بغسله. نعم.
And thirdly here it mentions that it is obligatory to wash the body of the deceased Muslim, and this is something that is a part of the kifaya. It is an obligation. Some of the Muslims have to carry out this obligation.
إلا أن يكون شهيدا مات في المعركة فإنه لا يغسل ولا يصلى عليه.
Except for the person who is a martyr who has died in battle, then this person he is not washed nor is he prayed over.
بل يدفن في ثيابه لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يغسل قتل أحد ولم يصلي عليهم.
And he is buried in the clothing that he is wearing, since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he did not wash those who had died at the battle of Uhud, nor did he pray over them.
وما جاء في الحديث أنه صلى عليهم و يعني صلى على الأول ثم الثاني 70 وأول واحد حمزة بن عبد المطلب سيد الشهداء هذا حديث لا يصح.
And the hadith that mentions that he did pray over them, he prayed over the first and the second to the 70 of them, and the first of them was Hamza. The first of them was Hamza that he prayed over. He says this hadith is not authentic, it's not sound.
ثم أن هذا الشهيد إذا دفن في دمه فيأتي يوم القيامة اللون لون دم والريح ريح مسك.
And the person who is buried in his clothing and in his blood on the day on the day of resurrection, يوم القيامة سيأتي
بدمه اللون لون دم
that his color will be
والريح ريح مسك
and his smell will be the smell of musk.
رابعا رابعا صفة غسل الميت.
Fourthly is the description of washing over the deceased.
ومن محاسن الإسلام أن عنايته بالأحياء والأموات.
And And from the beauty of Islam is taking much care for the living and the deceased.
رابعا صفة غسل الميت أنه تستر عورته.
And fourthly, from the description of making ghusl, washing the deceased, is covering his private parts, his عورة.
وهذا من محاسن الإسلام أن حتى الميت تستر عورته ولا تكشف.
And this is from the beauty of Islam. Even the one who is deceased, you cover his private parts and you don't expose them.
ثم يرفع قليلا ويعصر بطن عصرا رفيقا يعني بيرفق.
And then you raise him slightly and you lightly press upon his stomach.
حتى يخرج من بطنه الفضلات وحتى لا تخرج وتلوث الكفن.
So you do this so that whatever excess is inside of the body will exit, but yet it won't get onto his shroud.
ثم يلف الغاسل على يده خرقة أو نحوها فينجيه بها.
And then this individual, he puts on some type of a covering over his hand or some type of a material, or some covers his hand or the light of it, and he washes the departed parts of the deceased.
حتى لا يباشر مس عورته بيده. يلف خرقة وينجيه بها.
So that he doesn't directly touch the private parts of the individual, or rather he puts some type of covering on his hand and then he washes him.
ثم يوضعه وضوء الصلاة.
And then he gives him the wudu, the same wudu that you make when you perform the salat.
يعني يدخل الماء في فمه وأنفه ويغسل وجهه ويغسل يديه إلى المرفقين ويمسح برأسه وأذنيه ويغسل رجليه.
So he puts water inside of his mouth and in his nose, and he washes his face, and he washes his hands and his arms, and he wipes over his head and he washes his feet.
ثم يغسل رأسه ولحيته بماء وسدر أو نحوه.
And then he washes his head and his beard with water and with the cedar plant or the fragrance of it or the oil of it and the likes.
السدر نوع من النبات يوجد يعني متوفر بالجزيرة العربية كان يستعمل يعني بمنزلة الصابون.
And this cedar, it is a plant that has been utilized in the Arabian Peninsula, and it was utilized on the same level or the same length that we use soap now.
يغسل رأسه كما يعني يغتسل الإنسان من الجنابة يبدأ برأسه بعد الوضوء.
And he washes over his head the same way that a person washes over his head when he's performing the ghusl. He washes over his head after the wudu.
ثم يغسل شقه الأيمن ثم الأيسر.
So then he washes over his right side, then he washes his left side.
ثم يغسله كذلك مرة ثانية وثالثة.
Then he washes him all over again a second and a third time.
يمر في كل مرة يده على بطنه.
And every time he passes his hand again over his stomach.
فإن خرج منه شيء من الفضلات غسله.
And if there is any excess that comes out of him, then he washes it.
وسد المحل بقطن أو نحوه. يسد محل الخروج بقطن أو نحوه.
And he encloses the orifice with cotton or the lights.
فإن لم يتمسك أو فإن لم يستمسك فبطين حر. يعني إذا كان ما في مجال لأن يقف يسده بطين أو شيء آخر من الأدوات الطبية الحالية يعني كاللزاق هذا السكرة. نعم.
And if this is not sufficient, then he uses some type of a clay or anything that is known today in modern medicine, such as adhesive plaster and the likes of these things, in order to fulfill the job.
قال الشيخ أو بوسائل الطب الحديثية أو الحديثة كاللزق أو نحوه.
And the Sheikh mentions with those means of modern medicine, such as this adhesive plastering and in the likes.
ويعيد وضوءه وضوء مرة أخرى وإن لم ينقي بثلاث زيد على خمس إذا مثلا قد يكون متلوثه مثلا بأشياء فيغسل ثلاث مرات ما تنظف تنظيفا كاملا يزيد إلى الرابعة والخامسة أو إلى السبع.
So he repeats the wudu again, and if the person has not become clean with doing this three times due to him having some filth on his body like these things, then you increase doing it five times up to seven times.
ويجعل الطيب في مغابنه ثم ينشفه بثوب ويجعل الطيب في مغابنه يعني في أماكن يعني الضيقة وأماكن المفاصل في جسمه.
So then he dries him off with a towel, and then he places some fragrance in his mugabin, and he explains the word mugabin in any places where you have like indentations or little indentations and likes of these things, or between the joints of the body and the likes.
ومواضع سجوده الجبهة واليدين والركبتين وأطراف القدمين.
And also you put this fragrance on the places where you make prostration, such as on your head, on your knees, or on your feet, and like these places that you prostrate upon your hands.
وأن طيبه كله كان حسنا.
And if he fragrances the entire of him, then this is good.
ويجمر أكفانه بالبخور. يجمر يعني يستعمل الجمر. بالبخور الذي له يعني دخان.
And he utilizes some type of an incense like this to fragrance his shroud.
يبخر يعني أكفانه الكفن الذي سيلف به.
So he fragrances his shroud with the incense that this person is going to be shrouded in.
وإن كان شاربه أو أظفاره طويلة أخذ منها.
And if his mustache or his fingernails are long, then he cuts them.
وإن ترك ذلك فلا حرج.
And if he leaves that off, then there's no problem.
لكن لا يسرح شعره.
But he doesn't comb his style his hair.
ولا يحلق عانته العانة شعر اللي حول الفرج.
Nor does he cut his pubic hair.
ولا يختنه إذا ما كان مختونا.
Nor does he circumcise him if he was a person that was circumcised.
لعدم الدليل على ذلك.
Due to the lack of evidence in that regard.
أما المرأة يظفر شعرها ثلاث قرون ويزدل من ورائها.
And then as for the woman, her hair is tied into three plaits or three braids, and then her hair is made to hang loosely from behind her.
هذا بالنسبة لغسل الميت. ثم خامسا تكفين الميت.
So this is in regards to washing over the deceased. Now we move on to shrouding the deceased.
الأفضل أن يكفن الرجل في ثلاث أثواب بيض ليس فيها قميص. القميص هو مثل هذا الثوب الذي فصل على أكمام. لا، وإنما يكفن بقماش غير مفصل.
And it is preferred. It is better to shroud a man in three white shrouds. And that there should be no qameez in it. And the sheikh explained what he meant about qameez. He said like the likes of these long garments that we're wearing now that have sleeves on in the length, but it shouldn't be these type of garments that are cut like this.
ليس في قميص ولا عمامة.
And there's no qameez and there's no head covering either.
كما فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدرج فيها إدراجا.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has done so, and he would layer them one on top of the other.
وإن كفنا قميص وإزار ولفافة فلا بأس يعني قد لا يتوفر هاي الأكفان فيكفن بالقميص العادي فلا بأس.
And if a person happens to and a person has to be a shrouded in a qamis or in an izar, a lower garment or a lithafa, a wrap and like these things, then for that there's no problem.
والمرأة تكفن في خمسة أثواب درع يعني قميص الكبير تلبسه وخمار على رأسها وإزار يعني الذي يلتف حول وسط الإنسان.
And the woman, she is shrouded in five shrouds, and she's wearing a dirr, a covering for her upper body, a khimar, a head covering, and an izar, a garment for her lower portion of her body.
ولفافتين لفافة يعني مثل هذه تلف فيها.
And also she is covered in two wraps. And he stated that the likes of this cloth here, she's also covered in two wraps, shrouded two wraps.
ما فرشكم هذا كأنه كفن.
So he said, she said, this here is like the same material that we're talking about.
طيب. ويكفن الصبي في ثوب واحد إلى ثلاثة أثواب.
And a male child, he's covered in one up to three shrouds or garments.
وتكفن الصغيرة في قميص ولفافتين.
And a female child, she is covered in a qamis, which he explained, in two white wraps.
كل هذا يستحب بهذا التفصيل، لكن الواجب في حق الجميع أقل شيء ثوب واحد يستر جميع البدن، جميع الميت.
all these things that we mentioned with these details, these are the things that are mustahab. These are things that are mustahab, highly recommended. But it is, as per the wajib, what is obligatory and the right of every individual is to be covered at least once with one garment.
لكن إذا كان الميت محرما بحج أو عمرة فإنه يغسل بماء وسدر ويكفن في إزاره وردائه أو في غيرهما.
As a person is a muhrim, a person who is in a state of ihram, then this person, he's washed with water and the sidr plant that he explained earlier, and he is shrouded in his izar, his lower garment, in his ridah, his upper garment, or in other than the two of them.
وَلَا يُغَطَّ رَأْسُهُ وَلَا وَجْهُهُ لَأَنَّهُ مُحْرِمْ.
And his face is not covered, his face and his head are not covered because he is a muhrim, a person that's in a state of ihram.
وَلَا يُطَيَّبْ لَأَنَّهُ يُبْعَثْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا.
And he should be fragrant since he will be raised on the day of resurrection, مُلَبِّيًا of the big, of the big.
كما صح بذلك الحديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
As has been authenticated on the hadith on the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمُحْرِمْ أَمْرَأَةً كُفِّنَتْ كَغَيْرِهَا.
And if the woman, if she is in a state of ihram, then she is shrouded aside other than her ishrab.
لأن المرأة أصلا ليس لها لباس خاص في الإحرام فتكفن بثياب المعتادة.
Since the woman herself, she doesn't have specific clothing that's for her when she's in a state of ihram, so she is shrouded just like other women are shrouded.
لكن لا تطيب.
But she is not fragranced.
ولا يغطى وجهها بنقاب.
And her face is not covered with a niqab, with a veil.
ولا يداها بقفازين.
Nor gloves put on her two hands.
لأن المحرمة لا تلبس النقاب ولا القفازين.
Since the female that is in the state of ihram, she doesn't wear the niqab, the veil, nor does she wear gloves covering her hands.
والنقاب ما نقب له يعني ما فتح له للعينين. أما إذا غطت بغطاء كامل فلا بأس.
And as for this niqab, it is this face covering has two openings for the eyes. But as for if it completely covers her face, then there's no problem with that.
ولكن يغطى وجهها ويداها بالكفن الذي كفنت فيه كما تقدم بيان صفة التكفين تكفين المرأة.
But as for her entire face and her hands, they are covered with the shroud that she is shrouded in, as is already preceded in the description of shrouding the woman.
سادسا أحق الناس بغسله والصلاة عليه ودفنه.
And now, sixthly, the people who have the most right over washing this deceased, praying over him and burying him.
وصيه في ذلك.
The person who is stating the one's will.
الذي هو حدده قبل أن يموت قال فلان هو الذي يتكفل به.
That the person who stated in his will before he passed, he said that so and so is the one who's supposed to shroud me.
ثم الأب ثم الجد.
Then the father, then the grandfather.
ثم الأقرب فالأقرب من العصابات في حق الرجل يعني من قراباته.
And then the closest relative, so on and so forth, from the from a person's asabat, from a person's immediate family, and this is concerning the right of the man.
والأولى بغسل المرأة وصيتها التي حددتها قبل الموت قالت فلانة التي تغسلني.
And the one who has the most right to wash the woman is one who she has specified in her will before her death. She specified that a specific person was to wash her.
ثم الأم ثم الجدة.
Then the mother, then the grandmother.
ثم الأقرب فالأقرب من نسائها.
And then the close relative after that from amongst the women.
ما يغسل المرأة إلا النساء.
And there's no one who washes the woman except women.
لكن يقول وللزوجين أن يغسل أحدهما الآخر.
But it is for the husband and the wife for them to wash one another.
فيجوز الزوج يغسل زوجته والزوجة تغسل زوجها.
So it's permissible for a husband to wash his wife or wife to wash the husband.
لأن الصديق أبو بكر رضي الله عنه غسلته زوجته.
Since the Siddiq Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, his wife washed him.
كانت زوجته اسمها أسماء بنت عميس.
And his wife, her name was أسماء بنت عميس.
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 ثم يقول ولأن علي رضي الله عنه غسل زوجته فاطمة رضي الله عنها.
And then he stated because Ali رضي الله عنه, he washed his wife فاطمة رضي الله عنها.
من هي فاطمة؟
Who is فاطمة؟
ابنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
سابعا صفة الصلاة على الميت.
Seventhly, the description of praying over the deceased.
يكبر أربعا.
You make four takbirs.
طبعا مع شروط الصلاة.
تبع.
مع شروط الصلاة.
As we stated with the conditions of the prayer.
يعني يتوضأ ويستر عورته.
That
ويستقبل القبلة وينوي كل. طبعا ما في دخول وقت.
So now he makes wudu, he covers his private body, faces the qibla, have intended and likely the same that we mentioned in the conditions of the prayer.
بعد ما يكبر التكبير الأولى يقرأ بعد الأولى الفاتحة.
So after he makes the initial, the opening takbir, he then recites Surah Al-Fatiha.
وإن قرأ معها سورة قصيرة أو آية أو آيتين فحسن.
And if he recites after that along with it a short surah or a verse or two verses, then this is hasan, this is good.
الحديث الوارد عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما.
Due to the hadith as reported on Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما.
ثم يكبر الثانية التكبيرة الثانية ويصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كصلاته في التشهد يعني الصلاة الإبراهيمية.
And then he makes the second takbir and he sends salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same way that one does in tashahud, like you do with the salat al-Ibrahimiyya, the salat upon Ibrahim.
ثم يكبر الثالثة في التكبيرة الثالثة ويدعو للميت.
Then he makes the third takbir and then he makes a dua supplication for the one who is deceased.
يدعو دعاء يناسب الميت.
And he says a supplication that is appropriate to the deceased.
يدعو له بالمغفرة بالرحمة.
You ask for forgiveness for him, for mercy for him.
بأن يدخله الله الجنة بأن يقيه عذاب القبر عذاب النار.
For him to be entered into the paradise, to be saved from the fire of the grave, fire of hell. I mean, saved from the punishment of the grave, the punishment of hell.
لا يدعو له بأدعية لا تناسبه.
So you don't make supplications that are not relative to him.
فمثلا لا يدعو له أن ينجح في الامتحانات مثلا.
So you don't supplicate for him that he's going to pass some type of test that he would have to.
أو أن يتزوج فلانا وينجب له أولاد بنين وبنات.
Or make supplication that he's able to marry so and so and have children with them and the likes.
لأنه مات الآن هذا الدعاء لا يناسبه.
Because he's deceased now and his supplication is not relative, not appropriate to him.
وإنما تدعو بدعاء يناسب الميت.
But rather you make supplications that are relative to the deceased.
والأفضل والأجمع لخير لهذا الميت أن تحفظ الأدعية المأثور عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And the best of the supplications that can be said for this individual is the supplications that we have learned and reported from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فإن كنت لا تحفظ فاحفظ.
And if you didn't memorize it, then memorize it.
ما في مشكلة احفظ. لماذا لا تحفظ؟
There's no problem. Memorize it. Why don't you memorize it?
لكن افرض أنه صعب عليك أن تحفظ.
But if you have some difficulty in memorizing it.
أو مات واحد من الأقرباء أو من المسلمين وأنت لا تحفظ فادعو. ما في قلبك لهم الدعاء الذي يناسبه.
Or someone of the Muslims, one of your relatives have passed, where you have memorized it, then you make a supplication that is relative to this.
وكان من دعية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا.
And from the supplication of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, talking about the dua. And from the supplications that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stated here, oh Allah, forgive those living and those deceased.
وشاهدنا وغائبنا من حضر ومن غاب.
Those that are present and those that are absent.
وصغيرنا وكبيرنا.
The young among us and the elder amongst us.
وذكرنا وإناثنا.
The male amongst us and the female amongst us.
اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام.
And oh Allah, whoever is going to be allowed to live amongst us and also live upon Islam.
ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان.
And whoever is to die amongst us, then allow them to die upon Iman, faith.
اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وعافه واعف عنه.
Oh Allah, forgive him, bestow mercy upon him, pardon him in the likes.
اغفر له يعني استر ذنبه وتجاوز عنه.
And to decrease his punishment and to pardon him.
وارحمه اكرمه بفضلك.
And bestow mercy upon him is to give him of your faith, your bounties.
وعافه مما يسوءه.
And to decrease the punishment that he may come across.
واعف عنه بسبب تقصيره.
And pardon him for what he has fallen short of the mark therein.
وأكرم نزوله النزل المكان الذي ينزل به اجعله مكانا كريما له.
And his current dwelling place that he is in now, to make it a noble place for him to be.
ووسع مدخله المكان الذي دخله وسعه عليه.
In the place that he's been entered into, then widen it for him.
واغسله بالماء والثلج والبرد البرد الذي ينزل من السماء.
And wash him with water and ice and barred which is like in the hail now in the hail that comes down from the sky.
ونقه من الخطايا كما نقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس.
And purify him from his errors, from his wrongs, just as a pure white garment is purified from filth and stains.
وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره.
And grant him a dar, grant him a dwelling that is better than his dwelling.
وأهلا خيرا من أهله.
And a family better than his family.
هل يجوز واحد يدعو لزوجته لو ماتت قبله أن يقول وأبدلها خيرا خيرا أهلا خيرا من أهله؟
If a spouse dies before if the husband if the what now if the wife dies before the husband, it's permissible now to ask for a family better than a family.
هاي دكتور عصام يعني واحد يصلي على مراته يقول اللهم ابدلها زوجا خيرا من زوجها يعني يدعو على نفسه في الحالة.
Is it permissible in this case in a state like this to make the supplication?
نعم. قال شيخنا ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى.
Our Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى has stated.
نعم يجوز أن يدعو الرجل وهو يصلي على زوجته ويقول وابدلها زوجا خيرا من زوجها.
That it is permissible for a man whose wife has deceased for him to supplicate and asking for her to be granted a better husband than her.
ولا يلزم من ذلك أن يبدلها برجل آخر غيره.
And this doesn't necessitate that she's going to be granted a different husband than him.
وإنما هو الزوج نفسه يبدله الله بصورة أخرى أجمل مما هو عليه.
But rather he is the husband himself who Allah is going to offer him and make him better.
وهذا كقول تعالى يوم تبدل الأرض غير الأرض.
And this is like saying Allah Ta'ala that today is going to make the altar and change the earth, altar and change the earth.
يعني تبدل الأرض لتقوم عليها القيام ليكون عليها المحشر هي الأرض نفسها ولكن بصورة أخرى.
But like the earth, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is going to change the earth to make it so that the people can be raised and gathered therein. It is the same earth, but Allah has altered and changed it.
وقد يقول قائل.
And a person may say,
الإنسان في هذه الدنيا إذا عصى الله عز وجل.
A person in his life, if he disobeys Allah عز وجل.
ويوم القيامة سيدخل بصورة أخرى في نار جهنم.
And on the day of resurrection, he's going to have a different, he's going to be proportioned differently when he enters into the fire of death.
البدي الذي استمتع بمعصية الله سيعذب بدي آخر يوم القيامة.
And then
another body.
in the body that the person utilized to commit sins against Allah, to disobey Allah عز وجل, and the hereafter he's going to have another body.
فيقول البعض كيف هذا؟ جسد يستمتع بالمعصية وجسد آخر يعذب.
And the person is going to say, how can this be? That the body that he utilized to disobey Allah, and he's going to be punished in a different body?
نقول الجسد ذاك الذي يعذب هو امتداد لهذا الجسد.
And we say that this body is the same body, yet this body is going to be altered and changed.
فقد قد تأتي امرأة وتقول عن رجل ضخم كبير بالجسم تقول عنه.
And a woman may come in to say about a man who has a large body, she may say about him.
تقول هذا خرج من بطني.
He said that this individual came out of my womb.
أقول هذا خرج من بطنها وهو أكبر من حجمها ثلاث مرات.
He said that this man he came out of your woman, he's three times larger than you.
هل نصدق كلامها؟
Are we going to believe what she said?
جاءت إلى رجل شاب قوي كبير يلعب حديد. تقول هذا خرج من بطني.
So this man is going to come and he's a strong youth and he can carry iron like these things. You're going to believe that he came out of this girl's womb?
كلامه صحيح. إذا قالت هذا خرج من بطني.
If we're going to believe her, this is correct that he came out of her womb?
نعم كلامه صحيح. هذا خرج من بطنها.
You say yes. What she says is correct. He did come out of her womb.
لأن هذا الجسم الكبير هو امتداد لذاك الجنين الصغير لما خرج من بطنها.
And this large body, it is just the alteration of a smaller body from when he was a baby that changed.
ويأتي الرجل إلى شجرة كبيرة ويقول هذه غرستها بيدي.
And a person goes to this large tall tree and he says that I planted this with my own hand.
فقال كيف تحمل هذه الشجرة الكبيرة بيدك؟
So he says, so how can you carry this large tree with your hand?
يقول عندما كانت صغيرة وهي شتلة صغيرة أنا غرستها بيدي.
So when it was very small, I planted it myself with my hand.
هل يصح أن يقول هذه الشجرة غرستها بيدي وهي كبيرة؟
Is it now correct to say that he planted this tree with his own hand and it's so large and big?
نعم يصح لأنه غرسها وهي صغيرة وهذه الكبيرة امتداد تلك الصغيرة.
And he says, yes, this is correct because he planted this when it was small, and then it grew up to be this big thing. It changed.
وهذا البدن البدي الذي يستمتع بالمعصية في الدنيا يعذب بدي آخر لكن امتداد له فهذا ليس بظلم.
And the person who disobeys Allah with his body in this life, and he's going to be punished with it in the hereafter, then it's a different body. It's the same body, but this body is altered and changed.
كما أن البدي الذي أو الجسم الذي حرم نفسه من الشهوات المحرمة يستمتع يوم القيامة بجسم آخر.
حرم
نفسه يعني ما فعل الزنا، ما يشرب خمر، ما يأكل حرام.
Just like the individual who he stayed away from the prohibited acts with his body in this life, and his body is going to alter and change to another type of body.
والآن بعد هذا البيان في إشكال.
And as we have made this clarification, are there any problems now?
لا يقول قائل بدي يستمتع بالمعصية وبدي آخر يعذب.
So a person doesn't say that there's a body who committed sins in this life, but yet it's going to be a different body that is punished within the hereafter.
إذن يقول حتى الزوج لو صلى على زوجته وابدلها زوجا خيرا من زوجها.
So we say this even to a person's spouse, if a person makes a supplication for the spouse that they granted a spouse better than them.
لكن أريد أن أذكر لكم حقيقة ربما بعض الناس أو كثير من الناس غافل عنها.
And we want to now convey a reality to you that many of people may be negligent of.
الغالب أن يموت الزوج قبل الزوجة أصلاً.
And most of the time the husband he will pass before the wife.
هل تعرفون هذا؟
Do you all realize this?
النساء يعمرن أكثر من الرجال.
That the women they tend to live longer than them.
فكثير تجد أرامل.
So
قد توفي أزواجهم قبلهم. لكن قليل تجد زوج مات زوجته قبله.
So a lot of women they're widows, they don't like it, their husbands pass before them.
غالبا الرجال يموتون قبل النساء الأزواج يموتون قبل الزوجة.
Most of the time the men they pass before their wives and the women they live longer than them.
وقليل ما تموت الزوجة قبل الزوج.
And it's very rare that it will be the other way around, the wife will pass before the
يعني هذا هو الغالب سنة الله في خلقه أن النساء يعمرنا أكثر من الرجال.
And this is what happens most of the time. This is the sunnah of Allah of the creation that women generally live longer than men.
كما أن الرجال يتعرضون للحوادث والقتل والحروب أكثر من النساء، فدائما النساء أكثر من الرجال.
So just like it is the norm for men to be involved in warfare and fighting like these things most of the women, likewise women is known for them to live longer than men.
وعلى كل حال نسأل الله أن يطيل أعمارنا الرجال والنساء في طاعته.
And in any regard, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us ta'ah, to grant us obedience upon us.
فإن طال العمر بغير طاعة فلا فائدة منه.
So if a person lives a long life without any obedience, there's no benefit in that.
بل هو زيادة إثم.
But rather, it's just an increase of sin.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خيركم من طال عمره وحسن عمله.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the best among you is the one who lives for a long period of time and he has good actions therein.
حتى إذا دعوت لأحد بطول العمر فقيده بصلاح العمل فقل أسأل الله أن يطيل عمرك على طاعته. إذا دعوت لشخص فقل الله
If you were to call a person,
أسأل الله أن يطيل عمرك على طاعته.
نعم, you ask for him to for him to be his life better be increased upon obedience.
لأن العمر إذا طال بغير طاعة فإنه زيادة إثم.
Because if a person lives a long life without obedience, then this is just an increase of sin.
نرجع للدعاء وأبدله أهلا خيرا من أهله.
And we're going to go back to the supplication now. And for the person to be granted a family that is better than his family.
وأدخله الجنة.
And to be entered into the paradise.
وأعزه من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار.
And to be saved from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire.
وافسح له في قبره.
And for his grave to be made spacious for him.
ونور له فيه.
And to be illuminated for him therein.
اللهم لا تحرمنا أجره ولا تضلنا بعده.
And O Allah, do not prevent us from our reward concerning him and do not misguide us after him.
ثم يكبر الرابعة تكبير الرابعة.
Then he makes the fourth takbir.
ويسلم تسليمة واحدة على اليمين.
Then he makes one taslim to his right.
جاءت بعض الحديث أنه لو سلم تسليمة ثانية فلا بأس.
And there are some hadith that come and says that he gives a second taslim, then there's no problem with this.
ويستحب أن يرفع يديه مع كل تكبيرة.
And it is highly recommended for him to raise his hands with every takbirah.
لأن هذا ثبت عن بعض الصحابة.
Because this has been established on some of the companions.
وإذا كان الميت امرأة يقال اللهم اغفر لها بدلا تقول اللهم اغفر له اللهم ارحمه. اللهم اغفر لها.
And if the deceased is a woman, then you change the pronoun here from being Allah and give him to Allah and give her.
وإذا كانت الجنازة لاثنتين جنازتين فتقول اللهم اغفر لهما اللهم ارحمهما.
And if the funeral here the prayers over two individuals, then you change this pronoun again to being of both of them. You say, oh Allah, forgive both of them.
وإن كانت الجناز أكثر من ذلك قل اللهم اغفر لهم اللهم ارحمهم.
And in this funeral, there are more than two people here, then you say, you change this pronoun again, saying, oh Allah, forgive them.
أما إذا كان فرطا فيقال بدل الدعاء له بالمغفرة فرطا يعني السقط الذي يسقط من بطن أمه قبل الولادة فيقال اللهم اجعله فرطا وذخرا لوالديه.
Now, and if the one who's deceased is a fart, who say like a fetus, who say, huh?
Miscarriage.
Now, if it's a fetus due to a miscarriage, one that dies before birth, a fetus, and you supplicate for it, you say, oh Allah, make this child, this baby, this fetus, a saved treasure for his parents.
اللهم اجعل فرطا وذخرا لوالديه وشفيعا مجابا.
And to make this child an intercessor for us, that will be answered.
اللهم ثقل به موازينهما يعني بالحسنات.
Oh Allah, make the scale, make our two scales heavy because of them, meaning with hasanat, with good deeds.
وأعظم به أجورهما.
And to allow our reward to be magnified because of it.
وألحقه بصالح سلف المؤمنين.
And to attach him, if you will, to the righteous who preceded from amongst the believers.
وجعله في كفالة إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And to place him under the responsibility of Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام.
وقه برحمتك عذاب جهنم.
And by your mercy save him from the punishment of Jahannam.
هذه أدعية وردت عن بعض السلف.
And these supplications have been reported on some of the salaf.
لم يقلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدعاء للفرط ولكن بعض السلف قالها وحفظت وأخذ المسلمون يدعون بها.
And the Prophet ﷺ, he did not say this himself concerning this fart or this fetus, but some of the salaf, they said it, so we say it.
والسنه ان يقف الامام حذاء راس الرجل.
And the sunnah is for
المغرب وصل الوقت. طيب بس هذا اخر شيء. والسنه ان يقف الامام حذاء راس الرجل يعني يضطجع الرجل الميت ويقف الإمام عند رأسه.
And the sunnah is that the imam he stands at the head of the male deceased when he prays over him.
ووسط المرأة.
And he stands in the middle of the deceased woman.
وأن يكون الرجل مما يلي الإمام إذا اجتمعت الجنازة إذا كان فيه جنازة رجل وامرأة فالرجل يكون أقرب إلى الإمام. والمرأة أقرب إلى القبلة.
And if this funeral here, if there's a man and a woman that you're praying over, the man is placed closer to the imam, and the woman is placed behind him closer to the قبلة.
وإن كان معهم أطفال قدم الصبي على المرأة.
And if there are children there, then the male children are placed before the women.
ثم المرأة ثم الطفلة الأنثى.
Then the woman, and then the female children are placed after the woman.
ويكون رأس الصبي حيال رأس الرجل.
And the head of the male child is placed on the same level, equal with the head of the male.
ووسط المرأة حيال رأس الرجل.
And the middle of the woman is placed at the head of the man.
وهكذا يكون رأسها حيال رأس المرأة. يكون رأس الطفلة. حيال رأسها حيال رأس المرأة.
And likewise,
يعني الوقوف بالنسبة للرجل يكون الإمام يقف على رأس الرجل وأما المرأة فيقف على وسطها. الطفلة الأنثى يقف على وسطها. الطفل الذكر يقف على رأسه. في أنثى ورجل يقف الإمام على رأس الرجل وعلى وسط الأنثى.
So here, likewise, the female child is placed at the same length of the head of the woman. And the Sheikh explained, and he says that the imam, when he's praying over them, the imam, he's standing at the head of the male, of the man, and at the head of the male child, and at the middle of the woman, and the middle of the female child.
ويكون المصلون جميعا خلف الإمام.
And all those who are praying, all of them stand behind the imam.
إلا أن يكون واحدا لم يجد مكانا خلف الإمام فإنه يقف عن يمينه.
Except that there, if there's a person who can't find a place to stand and pray, then he stands on the right of the imam.
وما بقي من هذا الدرس نكمله بعد صلاة المغرب وما بقي من الوقت نجعله الأسئلة والأجوبة وغدا كما وعدناكم إن شاء الله تكون الأسئلة والأجوبة من الساعة الثانية إلى الساعة الخامسة.
And we're going to complete the rest of this lesson إن شاء الله تعالى after the Maghrib. And after completing the street teaching, inshallah, there's going to be a time period for questions and answers. And just as we promised you all, tomorrow from 2 to 5. We're going to have an open session for questions and answers.